I just want to say hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will be glad and rejoice in it. Welcome, everyone, to Lynnwood Christian Church. I am so excited. I am so thankful and grateful to your awesome pastor, Carolyn Walker, who invited me while she was on her sabbatical. Hold on. This thing will not be the same after this day. Oh, Lord God, it is so awesome. And I also have to bring you greetings from my pastor, David A. Hampton, at Light of the World Christian Church, who is our senior pastor. And I thank God for him on this morning, as well as the pastor that he succeeded, Bishop Peter Benjamin, who I'm moving from. And for him today, I am standing here by the grace of God that he empowered me to reach the goals that God had already purposed for me.
Yes.
So I thank God for him on this day as well. I will be remiss to not thank God for all my family and friends. Woo! Lord God. Can you just raise a hand, my daughter, my niece, my friend from work, my sisters and brothers from Light World, Pops and Mom, my mom. My spiritual Pops and Mom. My mom and my dad are not here. My mom is probably a Light World singing in the senior choir. I told her, I said, no, that's your ministry, you go head on. It's a treat to watch God do what he did, and just the fact that he is ministering in song with my soul. And we will get back to that. Hallelujah. All right, can I just see who I am? Please just turn with me to the book of Acts. Scripture is 28. I have to share this. Me and Carol, how we met throughout the pastor. We were a peer group, and in this peer group, we were called Glory Worship. And in this peer group, really gave us a grant to travel the world so that we can go and share other people's stories who not have a voice. And one of those places was Guatemala. And as you know, or you could probably find out, they were under a government as well that identified, that removed. And so they lost sisters and brothers, uncles, aunts, moms, dads, and we wanted to make sure that everyone heard their voice. Just like Luke in the book of Acts, he decided to tell Paul's story. And Paul's story is one directly, oh my God. I don't know how to feel it, but I guess I really do. Just like the song that I just sang to. He never could have made it without Christ, his Lord and Savior. And he made sure that everywhere he went, he was going to share the good news of his Christ. Not only did he himself was a man who they called Saul. I would never say that they changed his name to Saul Paul, because actually Saul was his name, so was Paul. Paul Silas was his name. But however they used to call him Saul, he was doing all kind of horrific things to the people who believe in the way, which we call Jesus Christ. And they murdered people because
your followers. And Saul, that's what they call the man, was one of them, who is. He was also a Pharisee. He was also an educator. He knew the word, he knew the law. And he went after God's people with vengeance. Can you imagine being a believer? Just because you are someone is coming at you all the time, putting you in prison, putting you in chains, and it was a disciple named Stephen who he actually endorsed or approved of the murder of Stephen. And when I was kicking my stomach, how hard it was see a man beat down so hard that he didn't ask the Lord to get him. He gave up the garden. It's acceptable. Now, as you hear the story, let me take it back to the text. Acts 1:6. I got this Bible on the shelf. That really the word is not small. All right. This is from the NIV version. Once faithfully on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The island showed unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us, all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pail of wormwood and he put it on the fire and viper, driven out of the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake swinging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the field, the god justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off, into the fire and suffered no evil effect. The people expected him to swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and did the word of God. The word of God for the people of God. Now, here we're talking about Saul who murdered everybody or accused of their killing and also help prison people and hang them up and beat them, and also he was just cold, he was evil. Anytime he takes people by because of their faith, right? Now as Saul is moving forward into this text, as Luke is sharing who was Paul's companion, so he can tell his story, right? You know, when you hang out with people, they see the things that you do, and they know how to tell your story better than you, right? That's how it goes. But you have to watch out sometimes how people tell your story. However, it doesn't matter because the title of the sermon is "Say It All." People are telling your story, right? Say It All. However, Luke did an excellent job in telling Paul's story. And Paul is going through life as a murderer, beaten follower of Christ. And now, as Paul moves forward, something happens to Saul. What happens to Saul? On his way to the mass, he was broken down, off his course. He fell down and was asked the question, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul is asking, you know, why did I persecute you? And God is reminding him, every time you spoke and did anything to those who are following you. And notice this woman, we are followers of Christ. And when we follow after Christ, things are going to happen. When you are committed to our Father, to Christ, our Lord, things are going to come to you. And with that being said, what do you do when it comes to you? What do you do? Well, Paul did a wonderful illustration. He took it off. Now, Paul is really reaching the destination to from the fact that he was just a shipwreck. And in the shipwreck, he kept trying to forget every governor or every counselor, every student, everyone that he did not. He didn't do anything to be imprisoned. He didn't do anything to be locked up. This is what's happening. He's on the ship, but he's a prisoner on the ship. And while he's a prisoner on the ship, all the stuff before that happened, he was trying to convince all the people in high places, the religious leaders, the Romans, and everyone else, that he did nothing. All he did was lift up Jesus. He lifted up Jesus Christ. And knowing that, man was known in prison, captive. Now, I know a lot of people are okay for this to be said, but you know what? You know, you said you all been working so hard. I wouldn't say that Paul was working well so, but I do say that he went through a whole lot of fear, a whole lot to other people, and now what happened to him and what he did to others, it really happened to him. I mean, the exact same thing. Paul was beaten up. I mean, beating down. They beat Paul so bad that he comes to God's rest. They put him in chains and put him in prison. And for 2 years, he was in prison, trying to defend himself that he did nothing. So when Paul was having a discussion with the people that were in leadership, trying to convince that he did nothing, that he was just lifting up Jesus, that's why he was there. They were trying to do it. But see, what we do not know, God sets us up. Because also, the awful thing is, every time he had to convince the religious leaders that he did nothing, he got to share his testimony. See, he was sharing his testimony, saying that, you know what, I do a lot of stuff. I do a lot of cool stuff. I hurt people. And God, Jesus, came to me, and he talked to me, and he rescued me. And now, I'm here trying to let you. And then one of the lead counselors said, you know, forgive me, or you kind of failed with me, you kind of failed me. Well, you can't do this in this short time. Well, I'm here again. Yes, you can. Because it happened to me, and it happened to you all. Let me give you a story. When I was pregnant, and I was not married, I was on drugs, and I partied all the time, and I said to the Lord, I can't have sex, because I'm thinking about it. Hard life. I don't want wants to give his child the same trouble. I want the child to be able to grow in a beautiful, healthy environment. And this environment is not very healthy. And God needs one person to come in and say, God, I need you. Jesus can help you. And with the one word, Jesus can help. My daughter, if he is today, he loved the way my child was. Just one word from somebody. So that's what the text is trying to help us to understand, that even in the midst of Paul being bit by the viper, you know what a viper is? It's a snake. It's a snake that's family. It's a snake that has venom. It's a snake that is poison. It is a snake that can kill you with one bite. But this particular snake, when it gets caught, it gets caught. I wonder why. Well, when I did my research on snakes, it talks about that some snakes, vipers, they do not want to use their venom because it makes them vulnerable. So sometimes you can be bit and you don't die right then, or you don't die at all. Like the people on the sideline, the islanders, who they call Bonaves, or Mercy, something like that, they call them that because they wasn't learned, they, you know, had the book or anything like that. And they stand on the sidelines and kick you right down. See, the shipwreck gets hit, but the snake's blood just gets burned and goes through his veins if you're ready to take it out. Paul took it off. Well, that's what I did. When my mind was telling me, you can't raise no child. You're not even educated yourself. You don't know how to read. You don't even know how to say it. How are you going to raise this child? You are an adult. How are you going to raise this child? Well, that's what the serpent, the snake, that's what it do. If you go back to Genesis, it talks about the serpent. It comes in and tries to tell you that he should do this or he should do that, and that's what the enemy does. It tells you what you cannot do. But God, he can allow his Holy Ghost Spirit to come into your life and not allow the snake to take you out. Because guess what, y'all? Snakes will come back. Oh, yeah, they come. And you know those snakes? Those snakes, envy. Those snakes, jealousy. You know those snakes? Those snakes of hurt and pain that do not want to help you to succeed in life. Find things about you that they want to share so that they can assassinate your character. You know those snakes. And also the ones that you hurt yourself. The way we think. The way we behave. Sometimes we can be the snake. Because we assassinate people's character. We talk about each other. We can be the snake. We might tell us people how to raise their children and get gossip about them and they gossip about them and they don't know the way you can take care of them. We can be those snakes. Help people. Yeah. Yeah. To be tense. We supposed to come together and love on each other, lift each other up, encourage one another, help each other, invite each other over to our homes. How many of us have invited your children to your home?
Come on.
Ain't that a sister? You on the right side. How about the people in the community? Are you inviting them to your home? See, this is what's going on. See, this can't come if it's going on in there. Come on, get it off then. This text is taking me to Matthew. I mean, it's a Mark. Somebody come and meet the Mark. Go to Mark 16:18. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they bring deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will be healed. They will be healed. Now, this is what God is trying to help us to get to in our lives, where we can lay hands on them and they can heal. So those of my people over in your house because they were sick, or you go sit with somebody and the hospital because they were sick, God will come to them every day to do the same thing. What do they have to do with taking on? What about fear? Fear helps keep us from inviting people over to our house. Fear keeps us from laying hands on the sick and making them well. See, if someone hadn't told me that God could help me, my child wouldn't be here today. See, that was a form of laying hands on me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
We have to get to the point as a community, as a body of Christ, where we're not afraid to do the will of God.
That's
right. See, while people are on the sideline talking about you getting ready to fall out, because he did this by the snake. God is on the other side saying, why did I die? And he, let me tell you this other story. If I didn't tell you my profession before God called me to ministry, I was a hairdresser. I still am a hairdresser. However, this is my life. Joseph, my friend, that brother Paul, sure, after he comes off of the ship. And God made a point to tell him on the ship, you do not need not one hair of a head, not one hair of a head on your head. You're not going to lose. God got you. So he's calling us, believers, to remove us from the sin. There's a lot of
more.
We can open up our doors. We can sit with people we do not know, with strangers. These strangers were very hospitable to Paul when he reached the shore. Paul himself started helping them build a fire. After it had been raining and storming and everything, but Paul himself started being a servant with them, and they were loving him, and they were trying to help him, but then they were like, oh my God, we got this for now, and then he might be, they were busy, but they said, oh, I know you are right. What you got? And they love you. You sit on the sideline, first you see all the stuff that everybody, and then you're like, you know, I'm going to put me. I would never go to you. See, she might have said it differently. She might have said it good. And then she might have got her education. But, what is it? There is nothing. Your calling is shipwreck. All walks of life, he gets the soil and grows into it, just like we all are. See, we don't get to have the future, we broke it. You know, I got issues too. I'm just alive. Well, Paul told me how to do that. He started helping the people gathering sticks for the fire that they're trying to run him on it. Can you do that? Can you better? Stick on excuses. Stand on story. Encourage one another. Let's move on to Matthew 10:1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out into the spirit and to heal every disease and sickness. God gave us the power. He gave us the power. The Holy Ghost, as we saw about earlier, is the power that works in Christians, that we can lay hands on, that we can serve, that we can encourage one another, that we can invite each other over to our home, that the stranger who was almost a better American, they were kind until Paul got hit. But let us not be that same spirit. Let us not be the kind of people that wait for something to happen because they don't measure up. Let us be the kind of people that Jesus died for, that gave his life for. He gave his life for the sin, the sinners. And then he gave the power to overcome the sin. We got the power! So we take off anything that weighs us down to your understanding. Because faith, as they call it here, is faith. We can call faith the answer, the deceiver, the liar. That tells you in your mind that you are not equipped to do the will of God. So we can't stand before the government and say, no more. No more. Hurt people. We are here to heal.
Amen.
We're not here to take
away.
Yeah. Let me say another story. I got a lot of God has used me and my sister back there, Angel. I've ministered God has placed on my heart about Transformers ministry. And this is going to be hard for me, right? So I was asked for our church and, it's not working out. And God said, you don't have to start a church, you are the church. So every third Saturday, and my daughter, she's up to, every third Saturday, we go to 38th and Illinois. And we stand out there and share the news. We go out there and just say, Jesus loves you. You don't know me, but I know somebody who does know you. His name is Jesus. He loves you. And you know immediately, people give their life to Christ.
Praise the Lord.
You never know. You could be in the company of angels.
Mm-hmm.
You could be in the company of people that do not believe in Jesus. But God wants to use you.
Yeah.
He wants to use you. Don't allow your circumstances not to do the will of God. Take your circumstances to the Lord, and He will work on them. Now, it might not be the way you want, because guess what? He uses your pain and your hurt and your disappointment, that all these things that you've taken off and given it to the Lord. He uses all of that so that you can deliver you from it. And that you know that it's Him that did it. Nobody else gets the glory of the things that God is doing in your life. If you got a roof on your head, God did it. If you got food on your head, God did it. Not your hard work. Not your education. Jesus did it. Now how you get it? Tell somebody. Tell somebody. So that they can give it to them. And bring them to their home. Let the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost. There it is. However, it is just God wanting to use us. He called you. When you see Jesus Christ, He calls you. For a purpose to glorify Him. And that is what those islanders got to see. They got to see God at His best. Because what had to have healed Paul made him fall. Because he went off. And they set him up in a nice boat. And he started preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. He started preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. God will use our foolishness to make it awful that He may give you glory. Don't say in your foolishness. That's the second part of 15. For the eyes of the Lord ran throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Do you hear? It's a heart that's committed to Christ. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. If we don't repent of our foolishness and then allow God to come into our lives so that we can be a better people, to help people, to encourage people, to lay hands on the sick, then we are one. That's what the word says. But we're not going to stay here long, because now we are encouraged. Yeah! That we got the power to stay off things that are pulling us back to do the will of God. Just like Jesus on the cross. He took everything off and rose on the third day. With all power, and now we all have the power.
Yeah.
That's the Lord's word, and I'll give it to you. Amen.
Amen.